Hunter?
I think it's going to be a really ugly game. I'm not necessarily like looking forward to it that much. I don't think it's going to be like 2013 or 15 where Alabama comes out at home and kind of just takes care of business from the get-go. I'm thinking something like maybe a 20-10, but just not a ton of offense. But
there's never a ton of offense. That's what's crazy. At least it won't be like 9-6.
I almost went to the hospital. Like, I thought I was having a heart attack, and I thought I was having a heart attack.
People want to say that wasn't a good game, but that was an incredible game.
That was one of the greatest.
It was like,
People hate defensive games. I mean, people want to see
points. Right.
Yeah. I mean, your typical fan does anyway. But I'm thinking that it's going to be closer than people think. But I think Alabama's going to come out on top. Though I don't have a prediction on the score, but I do think that it's going to be a close game. I don't think LSU is just going to come out there and lose. Like, I don't think they're going to get blown out like the rest of the SEC has. I think it's going to be a close game.
Don't call it a podcast. I've been here for years. It's the Hot Takes Podcast, part of the KidsWearCrowns.com.
Say what? Flexing. First day of the school year. Ain't nobody trying to look bad. Everybody trying to look new here. Muscle up. I know. That's the only thing I can do here. If I only know one thing, what? I'ma be rich by the new year. Take two, pull up at the game with a chain. Easy Fontaine, bitches know the name. What? Pump to the set. I run to the house like I'm in the Hall of Fame. Wait, hold up. Nigga asked me where I get this truth from. Told that nigga from the mail. Now the nigga tryna come up on the path, but he saw it cause he moving like a stamp. Goddamn. How you hating on a nigga who be steady on the grind while he fucking on your bitch? I just fucked around and find a recipe. Guaranteed to make her suck dick. Yeah, I was under why she so thick. And your mama wants you break the wrist. Yeah, ever since I was a young nigga. Cab 3 hoe, call me Saint Nick. And I already know the feds is watching. I get it in the mail, tell my bitch go cop it. Watch out for these suckers, they be steady out there. Snitching on the low, I hope you know they talking. I already know the feds is watching. I get it in the mail, tell my bitch go copy. Watch out for these suckers, they be steady up. Snitching on the low, I hope you know they talking. Say three, yeah, now I'm getting B.I.G. Undefeated, yeah, pulling up in VIP. I'm Tommy, you Chucky, yeah, you gon' have to follow my lead. When it come to most of these bitches, they murder. I'm Steve, nickname, Velveeta, yeah, cause I'm steady counting up cheese, You might as well find another bitch, yeah, cause your baby mama come on me, But the pussy up is like a three, yeah, hit the buzzer, beat the Kyrie, yeah. When a young nigga walk up in the club, hell nah, I ain't showing ID. And I already know the feds is watching. I get it in the mail, tell my bitch go cop it. Watch out for these suckers, they be steady out there. Snitching on the low, I hope you know they talking. And I already know the feds is watching. I get it in the mail, tell my bitch go cop it. Watch out for these suckers, they be steady out there. Snitching on the low, I hope you know they talking.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Hot Takes Podcast, powered to you by the KidsWearCrowns.com. I'm Ryan Hancock. I'm the New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana Bureau Chief for Kids Wear Crown. And I'm joined by my co-host, Courtney. And Courtney, how are you doing this evening?
Man, I'm doing good. Just sitting here watching this Thursday night football game.
Oh, that's great. Here. So guys, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. The college football playoffs, and of course the big game between LSU and Alabama. So we have joining us for this is LSU fan and blogger for the LSU blog and the Valley Shook is Christina Stevens. And for the Alabama side, we have Alabama super fan Hunter L. Johnson. This man once rode a bicycle to see, believe it or not, folks, this is a true story. He rode his bike to see Alabama play in the SEC tournament I believe that was in 2013, right?
And to be fair, it was only like 2 miles, and it was not my bicycle. It was before Uber, and my cab had not shown yet. And it was like an hour before tip off. I was starting to get nervous. It was the semifinals, and so they had like those rent-a-bikes in Nashville, and I found one, and I rode 2 miles to the game. And I was sweating by the time I got there, but I was there by tip off.
That is dedication. So the first thing we're going to talk about, as you guys know, we're going to talk about is the college football playoff rankings. Of course, Georgia is number one, Alabama is number two, and I really would like to get your thoughts on that, Courtney. We're going to first start off with the lady, Christina. I really want to get your thoughts on that, and then we'll go with Hunter, and then we'll go with Courtney.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I don't like any time that Georgia, Alabama, really anyone is ranked number one. So I was pleased to see Alabama not take the number one spot, though I also am no fan of Georgia and do worry that that would be some motivation for Alabama playing this weekend. Not that they really need any motivation against LSU because they are clearly the better team. But, you know, I was a little bit surprised. I think if Florida State had been a little bit better this year, Alabama's strength of schedule would have been helped. So,
you have anything to add to that, Hunter?
I mean, I'll just say it. She talks about, like, the motivation factor, and that's why I think you see a lot of the Alabama fans were excited when it came out and saw that it was number two. You had your fringe fans who were, like, pissed and thinking that the committee hates Alabama. But I think most of
the committee does not hate Alabama.
The committee does definitely not hate Alabama. Like, these are the same people who think ESPN hates Alabama. They think these are like the worst of our fan base. And I can admit that we have that. But no, I was excited to see us at number two because I do think it gives a little bit of motivation. I was expecting it. I figured that we would be number two. Georgia has proven a lot this year, and I don't know that we've been dominant in some of our performances, but we have still yet to beat a top 25 team. So I'm cool with it and happy with it.
I would have to agree with that. I mean, when you look at what Alabama, I mean, and granted, there's nothing to take away from what Alabama's done. Alabama has been very phenomenal this year. But the only game that they've really been tested in has been the game against Texas A&M. That's like the only game they've been tested in. They blew out Ole Miss. They blew out Tennessee. It's just that I think what you're going to see with LSU and Alabama, I think LSU is going to give them the best game. I'm not going to say LSU is going to win the game. I think LSU will give them a very good fight, hopefully, on Saturday.
I just feel like when people say Alabama hasn't been tested, and I mean, you can say that, but at the same time, these other teams, they are pretty big tests for the other teams that they're going up against. So I would say that Alabama shutting them out is them passing the test with an A+. So, I mean, I say that everybody knows, I mean, I went to Bama. I'm a Bama fan. I went there for a couple of years. But it's just, I respected that they're number two. And I think a lot of Bama people didn't want Alabama to be number one because, as history repeats itself, the number one team has been the first team to not make it into the playoff or lose in the playoff. It's just like their number one spot is an unlucky spot. But I think Georgia's a really good team, and they've shown that by beating everybody that they've played so far, and they put up a lot of points, and they've done that without – people forget that. I think the college football playoff, they factor in the fact that they're doing this with their backup quarterback.
And one thing is they've also the passing game is not there. I mean, when you thought of Georgia football, you always thought of the quarterback, but you're seeing a heavy dose of the running game with Nick Chubb, and I can't think of the other guy's name. But the rushing attack has been phenomenal for Georgia, and that's why they're in the position that they're in for the
Ryan, to add to something that Courtney said, he talked about how he felt like, you know, fans kind of were enjoying being number two. And this is going to sound really smug, so I apologize in advance. but, like, I feel like Alabama fans, we've been number one and on top for so long and ranked number one for so long that there's that part of us that that we crave being the underdog again. If you talk to a lot of Alabama fans, they'll say that their favorite season isn't one of the years we won the national championship, but it was 2008 when we were an underdog in so many games and ended up winning. Like, it was kind of like us against the world back then. And I think a lot of Alabama fans just kind of crave a little bit of adversity because it's gotten almost monotonous being favored in every single game. Again, I know it sounds smug, but I really feel that way.
Oh God, your life is so hard.
Hey, at least I admitted that I knew I was being smug. Okay,
no,
I
said that.
Look,
yeah, we'll be very happy to give you guys a little bit of adversity. We'd love that more than anything. Really.
Well, I fully expect it to happen on Saturday. So.
I feel like every year LSU is Alabama's biggest test on offense. And I don't think that that'll change this year.
No, definitely not.
As far as just coming out of the West, and that's no disrespect to Georgia, because I mean, I'm only talking about on their regular season schedule.
And that's kind of what concerns me most about this game on Saturday, is that last year, Jalen Hurts was running through the SEC until that LSU game. Now, he did have the one touchdown. He had the one touchdown, you know, the game-winning touchdown. But people forget that was a 0-0 game. I mean, I think even heading to the fourth quarter. And LSU kind of showed that blueprint of how you stop Jalen. And you saw that he was really a different quarterback. Didn't have any great games the rest of the year. So that kind of concerns me. I think Jalen's gotten better. I don't know how much better. I mean, that's worrisome to me.
Yeah, it concerns me as well, because I have a feeling that he remembers it, and that we talk about motivation. I think that that's a great motivation for him to kind of come back. And you know, Alabama won the game last year, obviously. You guys have beaten us every time we've played, like, for 6 years or something. So I think LSU gave Alabama a bit of a run for its money last year, and people may disagree with me, but I thought that we I mean, obviously, it was you know, tied going into the fourth quarter. So I would imagine that that is going to play way heavily on the minds of Alabama's players. I think it's going to weigh heavily on the minds of LSU's players. I think Alabama is probably clearly the better football team, but I always been an LSU fan for a long time, and I've been telling people this week, like, stupider things have happened than LSU winning this football game on Saturday, you know?
It's a lot of crazy things.
This would be like the most LSU thing to happen, would be that we would lose to Troy at homecoming at a cost of almost $1 million, like, literally, and then come back and, like, beat Alabama. I mean, that would be like the most LSU
it would be
season
the most
ever. And then of course, what would just really totally throw us into full LSU would be beating Alabama and then losing to Arkansas the next week. I think would really cap off, really be a very LSU season, I think.
You know, I'm actually planning to be at that game next Saturday in Baton Rouge. It'll be my first.
At 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. I mean, because, like, you know, I own a food delivery business in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I can't make it to Texas A&M, and it would be very bad for my anxiety to go to a night game and not, you know, I've been off my anxiety meds for 2 years. No, seriously, I've been off my, it's like, a day game is all right with me, because it won't be as bad for my anxiety.
And it's just a lot, night games in Death Valley are, like, I always say, like,
amazing.
When we have a night game, even in Tuscaloosa, they're incredible. Like, there's no better place to go to a college football game. But it's such a long day. You really have to pace yourself. And it separates the men from the boys, if you will.
It's definitely.
Yeah. Arkansas was on my list to go to. I'm debating whether or not I'm going to go at 11 o'clock in the morning, which someone on Twitter this week kind of took me to task for. But, I mean, grow up. I have a life. Anyway, I think that I prefer night games, obviously. There's something magical, and it's like the sun beats down to you at 11 o'clock in the morning. You have to leave your house at like 7 to really like get any good tailgating in. It's not as great. And hopefully the Texas A&M game, hopefully the A&M game will be at
night. I think
it's going to
be at night.
Because otherwise we will have had all day games, which is just all major, I guess, day televised games, which is just, I mean,
which
sad.
I kind of enjoy the fact, because I know how much it pisses your fan base off. Like, I kind of like
no, it does. It makes us so angry.
I love following podcast complaining about LSU day games. Like, it cracks me up.
Yeah, when I was at LSU, we got scheduled for some stupid, like, those Jefferson Pilot day games back in the day. And so, out of protest, me and my girlfriends went in our pajamas. Like, we were in, like, PJs and, like, slippers because it was so early. And we had to leave the game because you shouldn't wear slippers, like, to a football game. There's, like, no arch support. Anyway, you don't, I mean, we were also probably slightly hungover, if we're going to be honest. But, and the other games I hate those like 8 o'clock games that we sometimes get scheduled for because we're just way, way, way too drunk for that.
The 8 o'clock games are the worst. Like, I'd almost rather have an 11 o'clock than an 8 o'clock.
Oh my God.
The 8 o'clock one's like, the Bama Ole Miss game the last few years has been 8 o'clock in Tuscaloosa at least. And it's freaking brutal.
It's a nightmare because you gotta patience, like you said, it separates the men from the boys. It's like when being from Memphis, when they play a 7 o'clock night game, you know, the stadium in Memphis, it's right in the neighborhood. So I could walk outside my house and I'd be right at the stadium. But if you, God forbid, live in Baton Rouge, if I was living in Baton Rouge and not New Orleans, I would literally have to get up, like you said, was gonna get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and get some good tailgating in. I'm actually driving to Baton Rouge and I'm actually planning to rent a bike and bike from, I'm gonna park my car at a place in downtown Baton Rouge, and I'm gonna rent a bike and bike from there to downtown Baton Rouge to Tiger Stadium.
You can get an Uber for like. Hey. I mean, it might be a little bit more expensive, but
yeah, with it being game day. Yeah,
we also do a bus service, but it only runs for 3 hours before the game. Got to shout out one of my clients that runs Touchdown Express. So, next week against Arkansas, I mean, that's kind of a rough early game, and maybe it'll be a little bit cooler.
This has devolved into a LSU kickoff time discussion.
It's a big factor in our games, just because we hate the early time so much. And just like, you know, you say that the Bama fans, when Bama is ranked number two, think that everyone hates them. When we're scheduled for 11 o'clock, we're like, ESPN hates us, everyone hates us. And I believe that, actually. Like, I believe that the person who's scheduling the game is like, man, they're going to be really pissed off in Baton Rouge.
I was pissed off as hell when I found out. Dave Gladow asked me, he's like, why? I said, dude, 11 o'clock, dude, I'm gonna have to get all my deliveries. But then I was like, the tickets might be cheaper for this game.
Oh yeah, you'll be able to get a ticket easily.
I don't even get to pay money.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably just be like, come fill in the stadium, because they're sort of having, I think they're having a little bit of that issue. But I'm gonna see if I can like muster, throw it together and get out there, because I want to do that in Texas A&M because I haven't been yet this season. So yes, but you know, but I mean, LSU Alabama, is that what we started talking about?
We're actually going to go into talking about that real quick.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask a question for the Alabama side and for the LSU side. Okay. So the first question is going to go for the LSU side. Christina, okay. LSU is 9-9 against Alabama since 2000.
Okay.
9-9. Okay.
That's a very, very convenient year to choose.
Yes. We're starting in 2000. Which is
I didn't write this question.
All right. Do you think, in your infinite wisdom, is Alabama LSU's biggest rival?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is all year. From the time this game ends on Saturday, I will just start thinking about the next game. Like, I literally, like, circle it in blood on my calendar. I, like, rearrange my life around this. Last season, I was planning a trip, and we went on our trip in July instead of November because I didn't want to be like traveling the weekend of the LSU Alabama games. I mean, it's just they're our biggest rival. I would rejoice in beating Alabama in like intramural junior putt putt. Like, it's our biggest game every year.
Okay. Hands down. Okay. Okay, so now we shift over to Hunter. Now, Hunter, I still fucking hate T.J. Yeldon, okay? I still hate that motherfucker because, see, in 2012, I was supposed to go to the LSU-Alabama game, but my damn check bounced. Some bastard wrote me a bad check and it bounced. Okay, this year, LSU, Alabama, TJ Yeldon's he's done with eligibility, right?
Because we had Blake Sims, right. who did it to y'all the next year, or 2 years later.
Right. But that was because the refs, there was a missed pass interference call.
I'm sure there was something.
Yes, there was.
In fact, I think it was the last one in overtime, right?
I was. Is this 2014? I was there. Yes. I was sitting in that end zone. You watch the pass go. He literally like the receiver is somehow like sitting down. The pass interference was so flagrant, and they don't call it. And then it's just like over, everyone is still in the stadium. And so it takes like 30 minutes to get down from your seat, like out of the stadium. And the Alabama band kept playing, and I wanted to like punch a tuba player or something. It was like, it was infuriating. It was so, oh God, it was awful.
Well, I was sitting right next to the band. I'm glad you didn't punch me. But I would also like to point out that I don't even remember who your quarterback was in that game.
Bettenberger.
Bettenberger was 12.
No. It was Jennings.
Yeah, if Jennings had just tucked and ran on that play, he would have gotten a first down.
Or if they would have called the flagrant pass interference, we would have gotten another shot at it. But I do take your point. It was. Man, that was one where I was like, man, we're actually going to, like, break the curse. And, like, overtime, we're going to win. We're going to, like, make things right with the world. And it was awful. And then I had to walk back to my friend's house at, like, Dalrymple in the interstate, which is, like, a really short walk when you win. And when you lose, it's basically 50 miles. Like, it's awful. So
I was actually in New Orleans that night. And I was watching that game at Eagles on St. Charles, and I stood in there. I had an LSU fleece on. When that game ended, I walked all the way down to the French Quarter. I didn't get any drink. I didn't drink or nothing. I just walked down there. I need to uncleanse myself of this shit. You get what I'm saying?
I had to get from the stadium to the Marriott, and I don't remember how I got there.
Oh, yeah, that was God right there.
We celebrated a good day.
Yeah, it's you're very lucky that you made it there in one piece.
Right.
Quite honestly,
Baton Rouge and New Orleans are two different things.
It is. I watched the LSU Ole Miss game in New Orleans, and it was like barely on. We were at Tracy's, and of course, it was during like a World Series game, and it was so weird because they had the LSU game on like two screens, and I asked them to put it on the third screen, and they looked at me like I had like three heads, and I was like, okay.
Was this in 2014?
No, this was like last week, like 2 weekends ago or whatever, the LSU Ole Miss game. They had the World Series on. It was crazy, but watching a game in New Orleans is very different than watching in Baton Rouge. In Baton Rouge, like, literally, like, your TV is, like, required to be on the game when it's on. So,
you don't end up
at a bar in Baton Rouge that doesn't have the LSU game on, like, every television. So, it was strange. I felt like I was the only person watching it.
So was that my legit question?
Was it
TJ Yeldon has eligibility or not?
Yeah, that was your legit question. He does not have, so that's not fake news. Okay. Now we shift over to Christina. What is your favorite victory in this rivalry? Because I know for me it's 2000 when we beat them in Tiger Stadium for the first time in 31 years.
Yeah, that was the big one. So my favorite is actually more of just like, because it was just a great trip. In 2003, I went to the LSU Alabama game. And 2003 is like, I mean, a terrible year for Alabama. You guys had a bowl ban. I believe you had fired your coach, hired a coach, and then fired in like, you'd gone through like somehow like three coaches in the span of like a year maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys were in no way going to beat us, and we actually, like, won the BCS that year. So it was just a good year in general. But I was my last year at LSU. I told my parents I stayed long enough. It was my fifth year. I stayed long enough that LSU won the BCS. I went with one of my girlfriends, and we bought tickets, like, on eBay. And we didn't have a place to stay, and we drove to Tuscaloosa and found a place for Friday night. Didn't find a place for Saturday night, tailgated all day, talked a bunch of smack, sat in the middle of, like, an Alabama section and just, like, you know, like, we like, beat you guys pretty badly. And then we didn't have a place to stay. We had some offers, but sort of, like, you can't stay with dudes that you know, like, from the bar. Like, that's just
not
safe.
No, that's just unsafe.
Then we drove back to Baton Rouge at, like, midnight after the game. And had to trade off every hour because we were both so tired. But so that's my favorite, just because it was just such a stupid, stupid shit that you do when you're 23. So that's my favorite win, I think, just because of, it was just such a great story for us, because we are so incredibly stupid to do that.
All right, I'm gonna ask the same question for you, Hunter. Your favorite victory in this rivalry? What is your favorite? Because I know you've gone through a lot of, you've seen a lot of victories.
You have a lot to choose from.
I made my first trip to Baton Rouge in 98, and I think I've missed one Bama LSU game since then. I would still have to, I'm going to have to go with 14, though. You know, you talk about in 2012 how, you know, our backs were against the wall, and when the Yeldon screen pass. If anything, in 14, we had a less likely chance of winning that game. We got the ball back with, like, a minute left. We had done nothing offensively, even to a more of an extent, and had a quarterback who really had not done anything throwing the ball and who people didn't believe could throw the ball. And he just let us down the field when we needed it. We kicked the field goal, which I did not think was going to go in. I was sitting in that end zone, and Adam Griffin somehow made the field goal. And we were able to do it in overtime. Just, you know, if you want to talk about the PI, you can. But it was just an incredible, incredible game. And I was sitting in that corner right there where it all happened. It was great.
My blood pressure is, like, way high right now.
All
right. I try not to rub it in too much.
No, I know. You were good. You're good.
All right. Here's the question.
I would have rubbed it in a lot.
Christina, here's a question. Could you date an Alabama fan?
So I could. So, little known Christina Stevens fact, I actually, briefly, like, I applied to Alabama. I got accepted to Alabama. I made my parents take me to Alabama, like visitor day. And I have walked around with this big, like Christina Stevens from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, like name tag. And everyone was like, you made the right choice. And then ultimately went to LSU. But I had, like, 3 months where I actually considered going to Alabama. And I like to get drunk the week of the game and be like, they tried to pay me to go to your school and I wouldn't. But anyway, so yes, I could. I actually love, I have several friends who are in, like, inter-SEC relationships. And it kind of adds, like, a bit of fun to the whole experience. And one of my best friends went to Auburn. So we met after college. But, I mean, it's nice to have a bit of a rival. Now, I would say, in that, like, same breath, that no one that is not related to me will have to interact with me during the LSU game. I generally can't be in public. I'm going to curse a lot. I'm going to pace a lot. I'm probably going to be, like, not a lot of fun, like, regardless. And so you would have to really, like, love me a lot to put up with me, like, either way, during that game.
What about you, Hunter? Could you date an LSU fan? I know you ain't gonna date no damn Auburn fan or Tennessee fan. But I mean, what about an LSU fan?
I've tried the Auburn thing and it just doesn't work. but yeah, other than that, I would have no problem dating an LSU fan. I don't necessarily have, like, a second favorite SEC school, but I like LSU. I love going down to Baton Rouge. I have a ton of LSU friends. I've always been well taken care of down there. I would have no problem.
I would not live in Tuscaloosa, though, to be very clear, though.
I would never live in Baton Rouge. So
I mean, it, so I, so it would not work. But I would not live in Tuscaloosa. I'm not stupid enough to like live in another fan base. My Auburn friend lived in Baton Rouge, and it was a very hard hard weeks for her sometimes. But yeah, I could do it, maybe.
You know, there is actually a Tuscaloosa street in Baton Rouge. Seriously,
that doesn't surprise me.
I think in Mid-City Baton Rouge, and the only reason why I knew that is because I was looking at it on a map, and I'm like, wait, there's a Tuscaloosa. I mean, I know there's a Florida Boulevard, but there's
that's a huge street here.
Yeah, that's a huge street, but then you have a Tuscaloosa street in Baton Rouge. I'm like, somebody need to get that shit changed real quick.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't live there either.
Rename it TJ Yeldon Boulevard.
Oh, No. I mean, you could name it Bear. Not Bear Bryant. Like in Memphis, they have Bear Bryant Boulevard. In Memphis, they have Bear Bryant Boulevard. It used to be known as Alabama Street, but it's at the fairgrounds in Memphis. They have it called. It's called Bear Bryant Boulevard. Here's the question I'm gonna ask. This is for both of you guys. Let's say if I was from a foreign country and I had never been to a college football game and I wanted to go to LSU Alabama, what would be the stuff that you would tell this person who has never been to a college football game in their entire life? What would you tell them? And I'll start, Christina, you go first.
Yeah. I mean, I would try to emphasize the history and of ridiculousness in this game and just the long rivalry, but I would probably just also tell them, like, I mean, it really truly is like just an amazing time. And, you know, I talk about going to Tuscaloosa. I had a super great time in Tuscaloosa. I mean, there was definitely like a lot of smack talking, but, you know, we were sitting in an Alabama section. Some drunk guy started yelling at me and my friends, and the people around us were like, shut him down, and were like, you know, apologizing. They bought us drinks, you know, like they were super cool. So I would just say it's a lot of fun. And I actually have had this experience. In 2012, I was actually watching the game in the RV lot, which is like a weird story, but the guys next to us were just random dudes from New Jersey who every year picked like one major sporting event that they wanted to go to, and that year was the LSU Alabama game. They had no dog in the hunt. Like, they were not at all like concerned about the outcome, but they just had an amazing time and like hung out and like ate, and it was just a blast. So I would just say, like, just go and enjoy it, and it is going to be fun regardless. And as much as I hate Alabama, like, I do enjoy the game. And when I go out and tailgate.
Definitely. What about you, Hunter? What would you say?
I would probably just show them this picture that I have from when I was down in Baton Rouge in 2008. I'm standing in front of a tailgate. It's before the game, and there's this girl next to me, and she's got a T-shirt on that says Nick Saban is a douche, and like, we're posing for the picture. And then she's clearly smiling, and there's another person on another side of me that's flicking me off. And then in the background, you see this massive tailgate with like tents everywhere. You can see that there's a bar, like with a bartender, and then a dance floor in the middle with a stripper pole and a DJ. I would just show them that and say, like, this is what you're getting into. And you're going to be treated well if you're an Alabama fan, or even if you're not you're going to see like a lot of people talking shit to each other, but they're still going to be nice to each other in the end, typically. So yeah, I would show them that.
Okay, what's y'all predictions for this, for Saturday's game?
I mean, we're going to win. I mean, absolutely. LSU is like going to like shut it down. No, I think it's going to be close. I have been optimistic all week that this might be the weird year. And I'm going to stick with LSU is going to beat Alabama.
Hunter?
I think it's going to be a really ugly game. I'm not necessarily like looking forward to it that much. I don't think it's going to be like 2013 or 15 where Alabama comes out at home and kind of just takes care of business from the get-go. I'm thinking something like maybe a 20-10, but just not a ton of offense. But
there's never a ton of offense. That's what's crazy. At least it won't be like 9-6.
That game almost went to the hospital because of that game. Like, I thought I was having a heart attack, and that year, I thought I was having a heart attack.
And people want to say that wasn't a good game, but that was an incredible game.
That was one of the greatest.
It was like, yeah.
People hate defensive games. I mean, people want to see
points.
Yeah.
I mean, your typical fan does anyway. But I'm thinking that it's going to be closer than people think. But I think Alabama's going to come out on top, though. I don't have a prediction on the score, but I do think that it's going to be a close game. I don't think LSU is just going to come out there and lose. Like, I don't think they're going to get blown out like the rest of the SEC has. I think it's going to be a close game.
Okay, I'm going to taunt all of you guys on Twitter when we win, for sure. I'll probably taunt you if we lose too.
I won't say anything if we win because it'll be 7 in a row and it's not a big deal anymore.
Oh,
yeah, that's it. Look. This is not look. As long as this don't turn into no fine bomb caller versus caller, then we're fine. And here's the funny part: me and Paul Feinbaum and I graduated from the same high school. We graduated from both of us graduated from the same high school.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder why my ass is such a troll on.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a good game. And
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I looked at, you know, this thing came out from 538 has its projections. And if we can just like win out, LSU has like a 60% chance of like going to the playoff, right? So I'm going to go like delusional optimism.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, what's wrong with delusional optimism?
I mean, it beats me being miserable this week and just thinking that we're going to lose, which is how I was the week leading up to Florida and Auburn, where I was just like, and then, you know, we did. So, I mean, I'm just going to go like full optimism. You guys will probably like find me at my dive bar, like hate tweeting, like, like after the game, but I mean, I'll be fine probably.
Well, guys, we are going to shift over. We're going to thank you guys so much for dropping by the show, Hunter and Christina. And go Tigers.
Right, go Tigers.
For having us. Yep, roll Tide, thanks. Y'all. All right, thanks.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right. Well, Courtney, we are now shifting into talking about the NFL trade. The biggest trade was Kelvin Benjamin going to the Bills.
You think that was the biggest trade?
Well, that's one of the biggest trades. The big trade was the Eagles getting Jay. I can't pronounce that guy's last name. Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, they got Jay Ajayi for a fourth round pick.
Do the Dolphins believe in running backs or not? Do they believe in running backs or not? Do you think they do or not?
I think they believe in. Apparently, they believe in Kenyon Drake. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know why they gave him up for such a low draft pick, because he was actually the reason that they made it to the playoffs last year. But, I mean, I don't know what the Dolphins are doing. No one ever knows what the Dolphins are doing.
The other trade was Kelvin Benjamin going to the Bills, and I just think, I honestly believe when you think of like help, okay, when Andrew Luck came into the league, they got T.J. Hilton and Philip Dorsett and eventually and down the road, Dante Moncrief. Jameis Winston has Mike Evans. This was supposed to be the connection for years to come, Newton to Benjamin. Why do you think they gave up on Kelvin Benjamin in Charlotte?
His work ethic.
Well, he does enjoy donuts a lot.
Yeah, I mean, not just the fact that he gets big, but he gives up on routes sometimes. He falls on routes sometimes. It's just, I mean, he's not a bad receiver, but really what it boils down to is he's a one-trick pony. And I mean, his route running is subpar. He's not really, I mean, he's huge, but he's not jumping for real. So he doesn't really make big wide receiver plays like that anymore. So that injury really changed who Benjamin was as a player. And it's not really talked about a lot. People will just say that he stopped producing, but the injury, it changed who he was as a player. It took some of the speed that he had away, and he suffers from the same thing that Dez Bryant's been suffering from. It's no separation. And I know a lot of people say just throw him the jump ball, but that's a 50-50 ball. The quarterback.
When you throw in a jump ball, that's the, you know, when you have a jump ball in a jump ball situation, you never know what can happen. You know, like the percentage is, like you said, 50-50. It's not like that if you're throwing like a straight dart to the wide receiver and there's nobody there. Like with an open, if the wide receiver is open and has separation, the percentage of that receiver making the catch is where 80-90%.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the receiver, because you know,
right,
a lot of receivers shake your hand. But
yes,
but
they have cooties when they can see a football.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you're right. It's a better chance, and people get mad at quarterbacks for not taking those shots. But I mean, it's either live to fight another day or you throw it 50-50 ball. Now I see if it's third down, but if it's every down, first and second down, I mean, you don't want to just take a 50-50 shot every first and second down. And
oh no, you don't.
And essentially, that's what you're doing at the moment with Kelvin Benjamin, because he's not really getting off of cornerbacks like that. And there's multiple plays that you can go and find where an undersized corner is winning against Kelvin Benjamin on 50-50 balls. And that's not good for someone who can't create separation. But I'm not saying that like he won't reemerge with the Bills, because the Bills now have a lot more. I mean, Matthews, he's a okay receiver. I mean, they just got a crop of okay tall receivers now. But with that run game, they may be able to use Benjamin in a way that the Panthers were not able to. The Panthers used Benjamin like a number one option. I think that the Bills will use Benjamin more so like a, hey, throw him a 50-50 ball. Like he should be used at the moment. Like, not a number one option, but throw it to him and see if he can catch. We're in the red zone. Let's see if he can get us closer or get us in the end zone.
What does that mean? Now, with Carolina, do you think they'll go receiver, wide receiver in the draft, in the upcoming draft?
I think that they have to, but with their history, they're bad at drafting and they're just a bad franchise all around. I don't know. I can't say for sure, because they might draft more defense, because that's what they pride themselves on. They may draft another running back, but you would think that they would draft a wide receiver since they just got two extra picks and got rid of one.
Right. What other trades were you paying attention to during the NFL trade deadline?
The Giants one is very interesting to me because I'm a Giants fan, of course, so I pay attention a lot to what's going on in the NFC East. But that's, my friend is a Dolphins fan, and I've watched Jay Ajayi a lot, and I think that he is one of the top at least seven running backs in the NFL. So him behind that offensive line, I think that's going to be very interesting. The Dolphins say they got rid of him because they feel like his knees aren't going to make it long term, and this is his contract year. He is coming up, but I think that the Eagles have on their mind weighing down, so they don't really care about those knees right now. They just want to see what he can do for them. And let's not pretend that Blunt hasn't done what he's supposed to do in the backfield anyway. So now they've got Wentz, wide receivers, and a 1-2 punch at running back, and a defense that's been getting offenses off the field. So I think that they'll be okay. And I think that was the most interesting trade that I found mind blowing that happened this week.
Right, definitely.
And Marcell Dareus to the Bills trading Marcell Dareus too. That one caught me by surprise too.
I thought he was out of the league, Marcell Dareus. I thought he was out of the league for a long time, because I hadn't heard that name in a long time. Great defensive player for the Bills. So we got two more segments. We're gonna do our NFL picks, but the first segment, the next segment, sport losses that made you cry as an adult. I just remember that I've seen in my basic lifetime, I've seen 13 championships. 13. That's two in with my high school winning the state title. I saw two World Series with the Cardinals, a Colts Super Bowl, two BCS championships, and six College World Series championships with LSU. The only time I don't think I ever cried after a sports loss. Ever. I can tell you that right now. I never, like, there was nothing inside of me that would make me cry after a loss in sports. Now, unless if I was playing in that game. What about you?
It would have to be when the Giants lost to the Eagles when they had Mike Vick and Deshaun Jackson. And Deshaun Jackson took the punt back. And that was clinching us out of the playoffs. And we were up by like three touchdowns in the first half, if I'm not mistaken.
And he was like running and he was like daring the Giants players to catch him.
And he was daring us to kick it to him, and the coach told them not to kick it to him, and he still kicked it to him. That punter still does not have a job to this day.
Really? What was his name? Lawrence? No, it wasn't Lawrence Towns, was it?
No, that was our field goal kicker. It was
Steve Weatherford?
No, it was before him. I can't even remember his name. He needs to be erased from the history of being a punter for the Giants.
No, damn. I'll have to look it up. I have to look it up one of these days. So we are now coming over to our picks, and we have a big, big, big weekend. So I'm gonna start off here in New Orleans, Buccaneers and Saints. Who's your pick? I'm going with the Saints. Who's your pick?
I'm gonna go with the Saints too. I want to pick the Buccaneers, but I'm gonna go with the Saints. Because they're on fire right now. They got a hot quarterback. And the
Tampa Bay's a dumpster. Well. Tampa Bay's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, they need to do something about the coaching down there. That's what it is, really. They need to do something about the coach.
The thing is, you just can't keep. I mean, it will be what? This would be Jameis Winston's third coach.
Not to be second.
No. Lovie Smith was the first coach.
Yeah, now it's Kotter, but he was
Kotter.
He was the offensive coordinator, yeah. And he moved
if
up.
If Carter gets fired, they'll be on coach number three with James Winston.
Yeah.
So, it's not a Winston problem. The front office in Tampa Bay is a dumpster fire. They're a dumpster fire.
He almost in the same situation as Cam, but it ain't quite as bad as Cam.
No. It's not as bad as Cam. So, we go over and we shift to Carolina. The Atlanta NFL team versus the Carolina Panthers. This is a tough game right here. I'm sorry. I really, if you're a Saints fan, you want both of these teams to lose. But I think Atlanta has the better, on paper, Atlanta has the better team. Carolina is a mess. I'm going with the Atlanta NFL team.
Yeah, I'm going with Atlanta too. I believe that the Panthers might come out and show us something like that. Everybody doubt them. Putting it down, I hate to say. I mean, any team with a run game, the NFL can win, and they can run the ball sometimes. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, people have been running well on Atlanta, so I don't know. I think Atlanta will win too, but I don't think it's just gonna be like a blowout.
All right, we shift over to Seattle, Redskins, and the Seahawks. Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks just took a tough L. I think they bounced back against Kirk Cousins. Because he's going to just be trying to check the ball down. You can't really do that against them. Well, you can, but I don't think that they have their offensive line pretty banged up. They don't have the offensive line to give him the time that he will need to check it down and win like that. So, we'll see. But I think who's at home in that game?
Seattle is at home in that game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely Seattle.
Definitely. The smart man. All right, we got Indianapolis against Houston. We have Deshaun Watson, who is out. Tom Savage is in for the Texans.
That's going to be an ugly game.
It's going to be an ugly game. Look, guys, if you are in Houston and if you are watching this game, I think just be grateful that the Astros won the World Series last night. Be grateful. I don't know, man. This is kind of like picking between Adele or Meghan Trainor, because, you know, I love big women. I love big women, man. I'm a skinny guy, okay? You know, I don't know which one I want to pick, okay? Which one is Adele, the Texans or the Colts?
I mean, I just think that the Texans have the better defense, so I would pick them if I had to pick.
All right. I'm going to have to go with you, because Indianapolis ain't got no quarterback. I think they got the quarterback off the street. You know, he was part of, I think they just got the quarterback off the street. I'm going with the Texans myself.
Well, Indianapolis has Brissett, so he's trying to make a name for himself in the NFL. He's really trying to play to get a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you just really never know. Tom Savage can be terrible to make
moves. Ooh. I'm going to use this analogy, okay? Meghan Trainor is Houston. Adele is Indianapolis. I'm going with Indianapolis. I'm going with Indianapolis. Okay, the next game on the docket, the Rams against your Giants. The Rams have been very impressive this year. This is what happens when you get rid of the stench that is Jeff Fisher. Who's your pick?
I mean, we're a dumpster fire right now too. So I think the Rams, they're doing a very good job of making Goff look good. Like, they really are. And Gurley's playing at another level, too. I'm going to go with the Rams. I mean, I hate to go with the Rams against my own team.
But you, just, you look, this is a podcast. You got to be unbiased. Just,
yeah, I mean, you got to be. It is what it is. We're trash this year. So, and then we still suspending players and stuff. So, yeah, I would pick the Rams. I would pick the Rams.
I'm going with the Rams myself. I mean, Giants. I mean, my neighbor's kid is just terrible. I mean, my neighbor's kid. I feel bad for my neighbor's kid. I really do. Next game on the list: Cincinnati taking on Jacksonville. Oh man, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. This is gonna be a tough pick. No, it's not. I'm going with the Jaguars. Even though I know Blake Bortles is trash, I think it's gonna be. This game is at home. I'm taking the Jaguars because of that defense and Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, and they let him rest too, so he's gonna be good to go for them. So yes. Yeah, I think the Jags might win that one too. And I think the Jags, not to say that in a bad way, because I know everybody hates that Deshaun got hurt, but knowing that now the competition may be a little lighter, you try to it'll motivate them to win more. I think the Jags will probably win this
one. All right, the next game on the list: Arizona against the 49ers. I'm going with the Cardinals. I'm sorry. I don't think the 49ers are going to win a game this year. I don't think the 49ers are going to win.
I don't know. They might win one, but I don't think they're trying to win at this point. Even with the coach saying that they're not going to play, they got Jimmy Garoppolo, which we didn't even talk about in the trade. They got Jimmy Garoppolo from the Patriots. They say they might not even play him this year, so I don't know if that's smoke and mirrors or what, but I really would like to see. I do know one thing about the 49ers. I would like to see Saquon Barkley go to the 49ers to get in Kyle Shanahan's system. I think that would be cool to see.
All right, the next game. Go ahead.
I was just going to reiterate that I think that the 49ers are going to win this.
All right, we are shifting over to Oakland and Miami. This game is in Miami. I'm going with the road team. I'm going with the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, both of these teams are in the same situation, really, but in opposite ways. Miami's defense is playing strong. The Raiders' defense is terrible, and the offense is playing to high depth. So I think this game is going anyway, but I would pick. Who you say at home again?
The Dolphins. They're at home.
The Dolphins
are at home. Yeah,
I'll pick the Dolphins. I'm thinking Devontae Parker might play too, and Cup is coming back. I'll go with the Dolphins.
All right, we are now moving over to the next game, and this game is Baltimore against Tennessee. I'm going with the Titans. Ravens. Ooh,
well, that's a hard one, because if the Ravens can stop the Titans right now,
right. I just can't see it happening. I'm going with the Titans over the Ravens.
I'll pick the Titans too.
All right, the next game we have on the list, we have Denver against Philadelphia. Denver has a, I had no idea that Denver was still in the league. Allegedly. I'm going with the Eagles. The dream season continues in Philadelphia.
Yeah. That's a good defense playing against Wentz there, but I think that people, well, where is it, in Denver?
It's in Philadelphia.
And Emmanuel Sanders is supposed to put it in. But Philly is so hot, it's hard to get to this field. So I'll say Philly too. But I think that this would be a game to watch. No, I want to see
how play this team. All right, we got, I think we got one more game to pick here. We got Kansas City against Dallas. Oh, man. Who's your pick?
Kansas City.
I'm with you. Chiefs. The Cowboys have had so many distractions, and I just don't see, you know, Felix Jones or whoever their running back is, who I guess is some guy that they pulled off the street. I guess whoever they get is a running back. They're not Ezekiel Elliott. They're not Ezekiel Elliott at all. So I'm going with the Chiefs. Those are all of our picks. We need to start keeping spreadsheet of them. Eventually, next week
we do. I mean, just turn them into the chat, and we'll get it posted. You get they actually already have a Kids Wear Crown where they all do the picks. So if you just let Brian know, he'll put our picks on it too.
Well, that's it for us tonight, man. We had a very good show. We hit all our topics. This is like our best show since I've been co-hosting it with your partner.
Yeah,
but you know,
had a good one, and we had some good host. I mean, we had a good host, and we had good guests. Thank you for the guests who came.
Yes. As always, Courtney. As always, this is Ryan Hancock talking to you from way down here in New Orleans, and on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, as I'm watching the river flow through New Orleans. And Courtney, who is down up there and way down yonder in Alabama. And as always, we will see you down the road. And good night, Miss Katie, wherever you may be.
Yep.
All right.
The truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Hey, bad bitches wanna be my bait. Hey, hunt me down like the CIA. Hey, tied in my car trying to see my face. Hey, want me to beat it like a TI case. Oh, hey, if it's heated, I'ma be my face. Hey, and best believe it's gonna be outrageous. Hey, hey, niggas. Bouncing around.
Shout out to them people.
Mad ethnic right now.
I get it how I live it. I live it how I get it. Come to motherfucking digits. I pull it with a lemon. Not cause she ain't living. It's just your eyes get acidic. And this ain't a scrimmage. Motherfucker, we ain't finished. I told you we won't stop. A nigga by the business. Like yours, but you're renting. Wave hello to the top. Nigga, the bay wrong guy. Tell the paparazzi get the lens right. Got the window down top, blown live. Got the hazard on the Doom 5. You could catch me, Ree, in the new LaFerrari. And the truck behind me got arms. Yeah, longer than LeBron. Just waiting for my thumb like the Fonz. Woo, this beat tastes like lunch, but it's running from veneers and it's running from the fronts. But every day, hey, well, lemonade, I was afraid. Once a nigga graduate, would I be okay? So I played and I played. It's Rihanna, nigga. My constellation is space. Warp speed, double spark, couldn't chase. Nigga,
bath salt, bite speakers in the face. 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 Bite speakers in the face.
I get it, I live it. I live it.
living how I get it. Count the motherfucking digits. I pull up with a lemon. Knock it, she ain't living. It's just your eyes get acidic. And this ain't a scrimmage. Motherfucker, we ain't finished. I told you we won't stop. A nigga by the business. Like yours, which is grinning. Wave it low to the top. Nigga, the vape run by. Tell the paparazzi, get the lens right. Got the window down top, won't lie. Got the hazard on, only going five. You can catch me. Bouncing around, bouncing around, bouncing. You could catch me.
What? Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. Wait. Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute.
Don't call it a
podcast.
It's the Hot Takes Podcast, part of the KidsWearCrowns.com.